another enlightening episode of the Mad Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen, or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Welcome to Mad Scientists Exposed, and I have an interesting show lined up, because the more I watch the news and politics, the more I'm really, really worried, because this election is going so crazy that the Democrats, Hillary and Obama, will stop at nothing to both stop Donald Trump, but mainly their goal is to implement the New World Order. And the way that, you know, they've run out of options. They can't run Trump out of the race and install a New World Order toady in his place in the election. So they're going to try to distract and maybe find a reason to cancel it, or a reason for Obama to, you know, never leave office the way, say, FDR stayed in office several terms in order to complete World War II, and so the goal here is to start World War III. And all this false flag stuff, it's Alex Jones has been exposing on InfoWars how Obama and Hillary have been funding ISIS for several years, and yes, he says, he just calls it ISIL to irritate people, but really ISIL includes the translation that actually cedes Israel to ISIS, and that's why he likes to use that, because he just wants to smash Israel. Anyway, in order to get his war rolling, he has to do a lot of FACO stuff. He has to say that all these emails have been hacked by Russia, when in fact they haven't. He's accusing Russia of trying to tamper with the American elections, when in fact it is Obama and Hillary and the Democrats that are trying to tamper with the elections. And it's not like the Republican Party is innocent of that kind of thing. It's been done before. And you just follow Newt Gingrich and follow what he has to say, and it's not pretty on either side. But it doesn't matter, because, you know, they're the big establishment uniparty, and we're only supposed to think they're two different parties. And so in order to stop the direction this election is going and halt the usurpation of the U.S., the entire absorption of the U.S. into the New World Order, they have to stop Donald Trump, because he's not going to put up with any of it. So anyway, I've lined up some articles over on madscientists.exposed. And the first, really, I'd like to read you an excerpt of a letter I wrote to a friend of mine in Germany. We hadn't spoken in a couple of years, and there was some news on her side of the ocean and her family, and some news on my side of the ocean and my family. And so she wrote to ask how I was doing, and I wrote back. I said, well, yes, I'm, you know, concerned about all these other issues in the family, but the election is just absorbing my head. So if you don't mind, I'll read you part of it here. To my dear oldest friend in Germany, and we've known each other since we were 3 years old. We grew up in New York, and then her family migrated back to Germany. They had been kind of bi-coastal of the Atlantic Ocean for quite a while, and she's been living there quite a while now. Anyway, to my dear oldest friend in Germany, my mom and I were closely following the election. It's getting so bad, I'm almost glad that she and my dad will be spared what is coming in the near future. The two biggest countries the globalists need to take down to impose a worldwide tyrannical eugenic government are Russia and the U.S. And Obama, whose aspirations are to be the top guy of the U.N., so his loyalties lie entirely with the globalist dictators, is intentionally trying to start a nuclear war with Russia. Putin has been begging the completely corrupt American press for months to tell Americans what Obama is doing, but they refuse. The only way we can know what Obama is really doing is through alternative news sites in the U.S., which both Hillary and Obama have made speeches about that they want to ban, and through the mainstream news sites in Europe, if we speak the language. So there's a French site, an English French site, English language French site that I subscribe to, and there's a German English language French site. English language German site that I subscribe to. Anyway, although the mainstream press news sites in Europe, if we speak the language, that we can get the news there too. So you already know all this, but Americans are intentionally being kept in the dark because Trump is anti-war and against global tyranny, and he's way, way ahead in popularity. But the corrupt American press are trying to pretend Hillary is winning to help her defraud the election. So the American press won't tell us anything, much less the truth. The truth is the crimes of Hillary Clinton, that Hillary Clinton has already committed are so deep and shocking that she needs to spend the rest of her life in prison. So many Americans were so glad Trump told her that to her face in the most recent debate. Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirts are selling like hotcakes. The crimes she has committed at the state level, aside from the personal crimes of murder and intimidation of Bill Clinton's rape victims, show that she wants a nuclear war with Russia even far more than feckless Obama does. He is a communist true believer with an affinity for Islamic head choppers because they're useful to his power. But she is a practicing satanic witch with a eugenic depopulation agenda working for her globalist satanic bosses. Some people in the CIA and Secret Service have come forward to tell us this because they are so terrified of her being elected. So just yesterday, both Obama and the Russians have been firing, yesterday being Saturday, this past Saturday on the 15th. Both Obama and the Russians have been firing unarmed test rockets and missiles, trying to scare each other like some of Jane Goodall's male chimpanzees shaking branches at each other. Ugh. Deep down, I don't believe Obama has the nerve to actually nuke Russia, but he's running out of time, so expect something big soon, especially if Trump is elected. Before Trump's inauguration, Obama will A, launch nukes against Russia to try to force Russia to launch nukes against us, or B, launch nukes against the U.S. and say Russia did it, or C, launch one or more EMPs, electromagnetic pulses, against the U.S. to bring down our electric and information grids, which he would love to say Russia did, but wouldn't likely get away with it, so he'll just say the sun did it. He doesn't care. He just needs any nationwide crisis as an excuse to launch UN war tanks and globalist looters like the Clinton Foundation against us. This is the Clinton Foundation's pattern. They looted Haiti after the 2010 earthquake and are trying to loot Haiti again after Hurricane Matthew. This is what makes us so sick about Hillary. But if the criminals were to manage to force a Hillary fraud election down our throats, Obama, who doesn't have quite the bloodlust that Hillary has, might just leave it all to Hillary, who with 100% certainty will start a nuclear war with Russia within the first 100 days of office. How do I know Trump is really the one going to win the election, despite the fake polls? Because he is still campaigning daily, making speeches to completely packed stadiums, often 2 a day. And they are always packed with as many as they can hold, usually over 10,000 each, with 25,000 plus watching simultaneously on YouTube. YouTube tells you how many people are watching with you. Hillary's campaign has to pay a few hundred people at a time, once or twice a week, to come see her in high school cafeterias. And then they sometimes even green screen her in. Analysts have analyzed the footage. Because A, she's too sick to actually make the trips, and B, nobody wants to see her evil self in person anyway. Because if you do manage to find a live event of Hillary's on YouTube, you see only a few hundred or maybe up to 2,000 watching with you. Never the tens of thousands you see in each stadium and on each of multiple simultaneous YouTube channels at a time for Donald Trump if you flip around the YouTube channels. So those Americans paying attention to the war drums and warnings of electromagnetic pulse grid bombings are stocking up on food and starting their own gardens to last them a few weeks or months. And I've gotten pretty good at growing sprouts indoors. So my favorite are the birdseed black oil sunflower seeds. They're my favorite, and they're pretty cheap because they're birdseed. And I intentionally chose an apartment with a walled patio so I can bring all my pots. Yes, I'm moving, folks. All my pots of chard and peas, onions, and moringa trees. We have been storing an entire unplugged freezer full of canned meat and beans and water bottles that should last a while, too. So I'll be taking that with me. Anyway, besides all these family news, I'm also grieving the globalist escalating destruction of France and Germany and their imminent intention to wage all-out nuclear war against the U.S. So much more, I don't want to scare you, but there is much fraud in the worldwide vaccine industry, too, and the U.S. is in meltdown over it. Just please, please, please refuse to the HPV Gardasil cervix vaccine for your teenage daughter. HPV, which is usually very mild, can only be transmitted sexually anyway or by drug addicts sharing needles. So it's not something that she would need for school anyway, or she shouldn't. It depends what they're teaching in the classroom, doesn't it? The HPV vaccine is crippling, killing, and sterilizing thousands and thousands of girls all over the world, in Ireland especially badly, and I forgot to mention Japan. Japan's really bad off, too. I think Japan even has halted the HPV vaccine. So what you're witnessing here in the U.S. is a civil war. We're using ballots instead of bullets until the last ballot is cast. And then we don't know. We do know that only if Trump is elected can we possibly avoid all-out war with Russia, and only if we elect Trump can we possibly hope to force a stand-down of Obama and Hillary's jackboot martial law, UN war tanks, and Clinton Foundation looters in our street. So please don't hate us when we elect Trump. Much love to you and your family. Anyway, so that's my snapshot of the U.S. Election for my German friend. I know their situation over there is much different, with the migrant crisis being much worse there than it is here yet, but we know that Hillary wants to gear it up for us, you know, to the tune of, what is it, 5.5 times of what Obama's already done to us. And, you know, it just doesn't matter to them that jihadis are faulting themselves in the migrant populations. It's just, you know, if you mention it, you're called a racist. So, and you know, to say, hey, somebody has told us they intend to come in and chop our heads off, that's not being racist. That's just repeating what they said to you. So they have published that they intend to sneak in through the population, the migrant population. And we're not vetting anybody. And so it's not racist to try to vet these people and find out their intentions. Anyway, so if you'd like to give us a call, the number is 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208, and I'll be taking a quick break here.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer Radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
This is Monica Ford, your brand new host on Dark Minds Think Alike Radio Show on Freedomizer Radio. We'll have special guests each week with unique perspectives from behind the curtain. Tune in, call, or chat with us during our live broadcast. 347-324-3704. You can catch us Tuesday and Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
I love that little audio bit there that I don't have to even remember the phone number. I just hit announce the number, announce the number. Anyway, if you'd like to join the conversation, that's the number. Hit 1 to participate. Or if you just want to listen live, you can just listen live. There's many ways to listen to the show. We're actually propagating out over iTunes Radio and Blog Talk Radio and freedomizerradio.com. You can listen directly there. There's some apps, TuneIn Radio. You can get on the TuneIn Radio app. There's a bunch of different ways, and I list them all out on madscientist.exposed, and we'll be updating the Freedomizer website, too, to make sure that we have all these fabulous ways that you can listen to our show and our shows, our multiple shows on Freedomizer Radio about everything to defeat the New World Order. So anyway, I have more links here on my page here on preparing for the false EMP and the false flag EMP. And the funny thing is that like 3-4 days after I wrote that to my friend, Obama himself came out with an executive order on preparing the nation for what he euphemistically calls space weather. So executive order coordinating efforts to prepare the nation for space weather, and I linked right to it in the whitehouse.gov website. And it goes on here, executive order coordinating efforts to prepare the nation for space weather events. Now, I've been following space weather events, and they are pretty amazing. I like to watch this YouTube channel called BP Earthwatch, and he watches satellite data from all different satellites, even satellites that we placed on the back side of the sun, and so we get a stereo view from our view from the Earth and the view from the back side of the sun, and they put them together, and we have a stereo view, and it's all very nice and lovely. And, we can follow sunspots all the way around the Earth this way. And as far as I know, we're in solar minimum, but we're still getting hit with phenomenal amounts of cosmic rays and coronal mass ejections. So I guess we haven't been hit directly with coronal mass ejection in a while. But this guy, BP Earthwatch, he also is watching the data put out by the CERN Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. And he's noticed a pattern that when they gear up, not only does the Earth's magnetic shield start collapsing on itself, but sometimes we're also taking the risk of the sun will throw off some coronal mass ejections. And there's always a risk that those could come directly at us. Now, the sun is big and it aims in all different directions. It has just a spherical surface that can go in any direction. We have to be exactly in the right spot to get hit with one of these, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. It did happen back in the 18—I don't know when it was. It was in the telegraph era, like in the 1850s or 1870s or something like that. And all our telegraph communication got knocked down, and we really hadn't built up our electric grid at the time. And we just had these little Morse code tappers with their little electric signals. But it was pretty bad when the whole thing went down. They had to rebuild up that communication grid. And so now they're telling us, all our electronics are very sensitive to the electronic signals from, the sun and when we're in solar maximum, there's a lot of sunspots and everything. Ham radio operators will tell you they have to work around, if different frequencies work better than others. People in radio television broadcasting will tell you, yes, they have to work around different frequencies and some things work better than others, satellite data. And there'll be, some warnings going up. Can hear from the astronauts better these days than other days and things like that. But nothing has totally brought down the grid yet in over 100 years. And Obama has decided in the last couple of months of his presidency that he's going to gear us up for a space weather event. And, this guy, BP Earthwatch, he's shown us, and I've got a couple articles on that I linked to too, that when CERN spins up and cripples our our own Earth's magnetic field, that also has an effect on the sun. We're magnetically connected. All the bodies in the solar system that have magnetic fields are connected through those magnetic fields. And, you know, magnetism and gravity are the only things that defeat the speed of light. And, you know, if they're spinning up, they actually are emitting more than our normal magnetic field should be, and that has an effect on the sun. And if they hit it just right when there's a sunspot and there's, you know, some flares coming up, they have been shown coronal mass ejection. They just haven't managed to, you know, hit us full on, full force. But when some of these do hit the Earth, particularly with the magnetic shield weakened, it's like squeezing a balloon. We get hit with the solar wind, this extra solar wind and material, and our atmosphere gets squeezed like a balloon. It has a large effect on the Earth itself. And if you watch them actually cause an earthquake in Japan a few months ago, and it was a few days after that, the earthquake in, I think it was Peru, or was it, it was right near there, Peru and Japan. And I linked to those two from those articles. And the timing is just too suspicious, and it keeps happening. And so the repeatability is proving his thesis that CERN is actually intentionally causing earthquakes, intentionally weakening our magnetic field, and even affecting the sun itself. It's like this giant pool table in the sky across the spans, the huge spans of space. And, you know, that's not something that they're going to talk about a whole lot, but you bet your bottom dollar Obama knows about it, because, you know, if anybody does has a clearance, it's him. Now we want Hillary to have a clearance too. I don't think so. So it'll leak to the whole world, even though we're watching it before our own eyes. But this was coming for a long time. Now back in March 16th of 2012, right before, the day before that Saturday, St. Patrick's Day that year, because he figured, you know, he does his dumps on the Friday before a big holiday, so that hopefully nobody will notice it. But his big martial law order, NDAA, just announcing that, okay, in case of emergency, the government owns all food sources, all fuel sources, all water sources, all medical service sources, all transportation venues. It was on and on and sickening. And they own all food sources. That includes your own gardens, your own chickens, if you have chickens, your own, you know, your farm, if you run a family farm. No. The government's going to own it. They're going to co-opt it all, and they're going to manage feeding the population. And people have been suspicious about all these remodelings of Walmart. You know, well, I can't prove that, but, you know, after Hurricane Sandy, there were some stories about people that were scooped up and locked up in a FEMA camp. I think it was on the Jersey side, and they were guarded. They were not allowed to leave for a while. Well, I'm sure that's not the case anymore. Hurricane Sandy was 2012, and if they can manage the sun and its solar fields, you know, they can have some effect on Earth weather too. And, you know, there's all the HAARP and all that, managing Earth weather. And I always thought it was very suspicious that Hurricane Sandy came right during the week of the 2012 elections, midterm elections. I never doubted for a moment the coincidence with the 2010 election, that the same week as he got shellacked, as he put it, that he also implemented the egregious molestation pat-downs in the airports by the TSA. So I see motive with the timing of what this man does. So anyway, so I have a link. You can go see the executive order preparing efforts for the nation for space weather events. I'll put it in the chat box too, if you're in the chat box on freedomizerradio.com. There's the executive order. But you can also, if you're listening after the show is live, you can pull it up on madscientist.exposed. So anyway, I also have the article too, my observation on from watching BP Earth Watch, weaponizing the sun, Rube Goldberg style. A friend of mine sent an article on today's, the transit of Mercury. That was a big deal a few months ago. But that's kind of always semi-related. But anyway, so I've got links to these things. And if you want to give us a call and join in, with ideas on how to prepare for the EMP for when our grid goes down, because he's not going to go out without scorched earth. I just promise you, he's not. So it's just his style. And if he doesn't have the nerve to quite nuke us and tell us Russia did it, or to nuke Russia and have Russia nuke us back, if he doesn't quite have the nerve for that, he'll have the nerve for an EMP. He just, so die instantly from the nuke that he launches on several cities. But, they'll die over time of starvation. His intention is we'll be rioting in the streets like the Venezuelans. We'll be driven to slaughtering zoo animals to stealing each other's pets and slaughtering zoo animals and anything like that in order to eat. Raiding the forests, eating the leaves off the trees. And, there's some good websites, eattheweeds.com, stuff like that. So if you know in advance what's edible, you can maybe get by. But, of course, if the communication grid is down, you're not going to get any of that information. So, anyway, let me put out that phone number again and give us a call.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
I love that. It's so handy, handy. You just click it. You don't have to even look up the phone number. So, other articles here. I've got Putin begs American mainstream media to wake up. And it's a video you can watch. Vladimir Putin last July was begging American mainstream media to tell the American public that Obama is trying to stir up a nuclear war, or at least a war with us. And, what could be Obama's reason for choosing Russia? Well, Russia's been in Syria pounding the heck out of ISIS, but we already have the proof in the WikiLeaks and elsewhere, follow the money trail, that Obama and Hillary have been funding ISIS, directing ISIS, planning ISIS, fostering its growth into now 32 countries. And Putin's over in Syria pounding the heck out of ISIS and making them totally ineffectual. And, Trump keeps saying, well, why can't we just work with Russia? If they want to take out ISIS, let them. Well, that's not Obama's goal. And finally, Putin got fed up with it. We went over there and we accidentally bombed a few hospitals. We bombed a few supposedly Syrian good guy bases, that kind of stuff. And Putin got fed up and he implemented a no-fly zone over Syria, which Obama wants to now break. He wants to make it our no-fly zone, not Putin's no-fly zone. And so he's willing to go in there and try to do that. And that can only mean one thing, and that's war with Syria, war with Russia. And why Syria? Well, it was part of Hillary's plan and Obama's plan several years ago to take out the whole Middle East in order to drive the migrants into Europe in order to cause a big crisis and bring about a new world order. They were just hoping everybody would beg, oh, save us, save us, save us, and have the new world order take effect. But so far, it's not having the effect they intended. People are not clamoring towards the new world order. They're clamoring away from it because they see who it is that's driving these migrants out of their homes, where most of them would rather stay in their homes, but they are assaulted with jihadis that are just wreaking havoc all over Europe, raping women and committing crimes and terrorist acts. And it's only a matter of time before there's more. And why should people put up with this? The people who aren't jihadis, they don't want to be there anyway. They want to be in their home countries, but they're driven out because of all the ISIS jihadis running through. And if you're not Muslim enough, they chop your head too. So anyway, so I've got the video to Putin begging the American media to wake Americans up. And they have refused. They have refused because they're actually owned by the globalists. They want Hillary in office. They wish Obama didn't have to leave, but what the heck, they'll settle for an old satanic witch. And yes, there is interviews that appear on InfoWars with Nichols. What's his first name? Nichols. He used to work for the Clintons, and he's a witness to Hillary having evacuated about once a month to go to California and join her witch coven over there. And that's coming out to, again, some there's some things on Drudge right now about Hillary's lesbianism. But, you know, I wouldn't even care about that. But it's the satanic agenda of you know, that she's involved in that just makes me sick. So I've also got a link to a U.S. Army chief. He's threatening war with Russia. This is just a few days ago, not even last July. And he's strutting around pretending that the Russians are offending us and that they shouldn't be in Syria, when in fact they're doing a better job in Syria than we are, because they're doing the right thing. They're defending they're smashing up ISIS. But he's a pretty obnoxious U.S. Army chief. And, you know, anything they can do to try to throw at Russia, they're looking to gin up a war with Russia. They're claiming the DNC leaks were email leaks to WikiLeaks came from the Russians. We know it didn't come from the Russians. We know it came from that poor guy that was murdered a few days after after it was leaked, who was on the Clinton IT team. So anyway, I have a lot of articles to InfoWars ringing alarm bells over Obama's plan to start World War III with Russia. I have a lot of articles on Hillary wants it even more than Obama does. So which of these are not videos? It's kind of tricky to feed the videos through these links, so I'm looking for actual articles. But I have links to them. It sure seems like this is the article. This is dated yesterday, October 17th. Why is Obama threatening Russia with World War III right before the election? The CIA has already begun opening cyber doors, selecting targets, and making preparations for an operation. It sure seems like an odd time to be provoking a war with Russia. As I write this, we stand just a little bit more than 3 weeks away from one of the most pivotal elections in U.S. history, and Barack Obama has chosen this moment to strongly threaten the Russians. As I wrote about on Friday, Reuters is reporting that Obama is contemplating, quote, direct U.S. military action, unquote, against Syrian military targets, and the Russians have already indicated that any assault on Russian forces would be considered an attack on themselves. The rapidly deteriorating crisis in Syria has already caused tensions with Russia to rise to the highest level since the end of the Cold War, but now Obama is adding fuel to the fire by publicly considering, quote, an unprecedented cyber covert action against Russia, unquote. Now, even if this weren't stupid on its face, announcing what you plan to do is double stupid, as you know Trump has pointed out. If Russia even were a legitimate target, announcing what you're going to do before you do it just lets them defend themselves. So Obama likes to strut around. He likes the sound of his own voice more than he actually has the nerve to commit these acts. But he has generals underneath him who certainly do have the nerve, and they'll be doing this stuff. So anyway, it goes on. And who is the author of this? This is Michael Snyder from Economic Collapse, and the article's featured on InfoWars. Anyway, apparently Obama believes that Russian hackers are interfering in the election, so he wants payback. The following comes from an NBC News article, CIA prepping for possible cyber strike against Russia. This is a quote. The Obama administration is contemplating an unprecedented cyber covert action against Russia in retaliation for alleged Russian interference in the American presidential election, U.S. election officials told NBC News. Current and former officials with direct knowledge of the situation say the CIA has been asked to deliver options to the White House for a wide-ranging, quote-unquote, clandestine cyber operation designed to harass and, quote, embarrass, unquote, the Kremlin leadership. Clandestine, but he's announcing it to the world through NBC. And he's going to embarrass the Kremlin when he's only embarrassing himself, accusing them of things they didn't do. The sources did not elaborate on the exact measures the CIA was considering, but said the agency had already begun opening cyber doors, selecting targets, and making other preparations for an operation. Well, so the Russians can just run around and close their doors. Anyway, somebody should tell Obama that he's not playing a video game. A cyber attack is considered to be an act of war, and the Russians would inevitably retaliate. And considering how exceedingly vulnerable our cyber infrastructure is, I don't know if that is something you want to invite. At the end of last week, Vice President Joe Biden so publicly threatened the Russians. On Friday, Vice President Joe Biden, this is a quote from NBC again, for an interview that has raised serious concerns in Russia. Without bothering to question the authenticity of the claims, Todd took the allegations of Russian hacking at face value, opening his interview with a loaded question. Why haven't we sent a message yet to Putin? He asked. Well, after a moment of stunned silence, Biden responded, we're sending a message. We have the capacity to do it, and it will be at the time of our choosing and under the circumstances that will have the greatest impact, unquote. Then Todd asked if the public will know a message was sent. Biden replied, I hope not. So we sent his... That's ridiculous. We're sending a message. Here's the message. This is what the message is. You make sure Putin knows it. And with the public, no. Oh, I hope not. Well, he's only on national television. Oh, my gosh. So let me check and see if we have any call-ins yet. I have too many tabs open because I have too much fun reading these articles. It's just not fair. But anyway, here's our guest. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Good show.
Thanks. You got some thoughts?
You know, did you mention something a while ago about the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, or was I imagining that?
No, I did. I came right
so
from watching
you. I'm so angry about that. I can't tell you how angry I am at the foolishness, at the stupid so-called scientists over there. You know, isn't your show called something like Mad Scientists dot Exposed?
Mad Scientists Exposed.
Yes. And you know what? We've been talking about politics. We've been talking about Obama. But I think their mad scientists could be found somewhere over there in the Hadron area, the Large Hadron, you know, Collider.
Yes.
When looking at a site.
I've been shocked by the overlap of politics and science because they're just picking, I mean, there's almost no science that can't be weaponized, and that's what they're doing, and that's why I'm angry, and that's why, you know, I got into this, you know, first the website and then the radio show, is because I saw it in another industry, I saw it in the vaccine industry, and I was so outraged and angry with Ebola, you know, and now this, it's like, okay, they're not just going to destroy humanity, they're going to smash the earth. They said, oh, shake it apart with earthquakes.
I'm looking at www.quora.com, and it seems to be anti-conspiracy theories having to do with CERN, and there are scientists on here, you know. And one, the one that I found says, Quora, there is a conspiracy theory which claims that the LHC, that's the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, is responsible for triggering various recent earthquakes. Japan, Nepal, etc. My gut instinct tells me this must be nonsense. How do you refute this properly? So Andy Buckley, who is a visiting researcher at CERN, I guess, since 2001, he's the scientific associate from 2012 to 2014, replies, and this was last year, about a year ago, he replies, the individual particles have an extraordinary amount of energy for individual particles, but on a human scale, let alone a geologic scale, the energy of each particle is still tiny. But as Simon Stolle has pointed out, the plus or minus 10 to the 11th power particles in the machine each have that energy, and the full beams are dumped into the ground at the end of each run or when something goes wrong. This is not usually with the peak energy content, since the number of particles and hence total energy reduce during each of the 8 our machine runs, but a substantial amount of energy is going into one place. The Large Hadron Collider has a very sophisticated beam dump system for this purpose, including magnetic, it says actually magmetic, I've never seen that before, magmetic with an M in the middle, steering to avoid, to avoid dumping the whole beam into a microscopic region of the dump system, and said that this is a safety system that they use. So one nifty thing about the beam dumps is that they avoid focusing all the energy of the dumped beams into a single line through the huge 8 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter graphite absorber. The operational beam with
this is a distraction. They're not shooting it into the earth. They're shooting it into the sun. And if they can get a hot spot magnetic field sunspot that's shooting off a flare, they might be able to get it to cause a coronal mass ejection. you know, a flare that doesn't
return
to the sun.
Well, very experimental of them. I mean, that's crazy. That's just crazy that anybody in their right mind would do that. And if they're doing that, they need to be called down on that. And the whole place should be shut down. So they're saying this operational beam width is roughly 0.01 millimeter, and dumping the whole high-speed train at 200 kilometers, /H, beam energy into that pinpoint would definitely melt, cut, and generally obliterate whatever it was dumped into. So it says that it dilutes the beam spread, reduces the energy, a special magnet goes over it, et cetera, so that it renders it harmless. Well, I'm not sure, because they say every little bit helps. The block still gets very hot, but it doesn't burn, melt, or explode. So they're dumping this into this block of graphite, 8 meters by 1 meter by 1 meter, and maybe that's not diluting the beam energy. Maybe it's ending up causing both earthquakes and, changes to our magnetosphere. What do you think about
that? Why don't they just let it wind down slowly? Why do they have to dump it all at once?
That's how it comes out of this.
But this whole thing about dumping it into the ground, I'm glad you found this site, because I'll put a link to that too, because it just doesn't make sense. What we were complaining about was them shooting other magnetism at the sun, you know, or causing a huge magnetic field at one point actually is affecting the sun,
mm-hmm.
and he is diverting, saying, "Oh no, we're dumping it in, you know, into the ground," and so
wow, that's right.
He's doing smoke and mirrors.
No, no, by the way, he goes on. I believe you. He goes on, he says, the total amount of energy in the Large Hadron Collider beams from the link above is 350 MJ. Now, I believe MJ stands for megajoules. Megajoules.
Yeah, probably.
So that's a huge amount of energy. And then he says, let's compare that to the Richter scale energy equivalent for earthquakes. For a small construction site blast, 89 megajoules is a large conventional explosion. Significant earthquakes and major explosive events like volcanic eruptions are on a scale perhaps a million times larger. Okay, but still, it's on a scale that could be a, quote, large conventional explosion, you know. And I don't think that they're fully diluting it. I think it's probably actually going into the ground and doing stuff that they don't even have any idea what it's doing.
Right, they don't, because they're not geologists, they're astrophysicists.
There you go. So they shouldn't fire things into the ground.
I used to live next to a quarry. They would go off every day. You could set your watch by them. They would shake the whole neighborhood.
What?
You know, it's about the equivalent of a small earthquake.
No. You know what? Guess what? This guy, who is a scientist, a research scientist, looking for, I guess, the scientific community and the Hadron Collider, says, you could argue that an explosive event on the megajoule scale could set off a TJ earthquake. I wonder if that's terajoules, terajoule earthquake. And I don't know enough about geology to disprove that statement. But it seems unlikely
that
a large...
Oh, didn't I?
See, he does not, he does not know enough
so
about
well?
Geology. No. It makes me angry. It makes me angry that scientists are talking... Well, it's, I don't know enough about geology to disprove that statement, and yet he's...
Well, then you hire a geologist. What is wrong with him, you know?
That's right.
If they need geologists at CERN, then they need to hire some geologists at CERN. I mean, if he's recognizing his own shortcomings, I mean, what is wrong with him? You hire somebody to fill that gap. You don't just start, you know... So he's not even acknowledging that he's causing earthquakes, you know?
Yeah.
CERN...
is, what is it, about 2 or 3 degrees east of Greenwich? And is it about 45 north latitude, something like that? Now, what is, you know, it'd be interesting is to find what is in the exact opposite of the Earth. Would it be 40 degrees south of south latitude by, 180 degrees east or something?
I thought it was
like
in Australia or near Australia somewhere. Okay, now I'm looking at a map of CERN.
I think it must be New Zealand. I'm not sure about that, but if you think of where the international dateline is and then go due south from there, 40 degrees below the equator, and I think you're in the region of Tonga and New Zealand, and those are very active seismic areas. So this might be leading up to a big earthquake in that area.
Okay.
There was one.
Oh,
there was one in Christchurch.
Oh, there's some video here. So there's actually,
yeah,
it's not that close down there. Somebody did a video on the exact opposite coordinates of CERN. And,
yeah.
It's 5 minutes long. I'll see if I can take some screenshots in the middle here somewhere.
Hey,
and see where
awesome.
They come out.
Yeah.
Looks like
because
it's actually in the water.
Yeah, because they had one in Christchurch, New Zealand, 5 or 6 years ago? I don't know. Certainly after this came online, after CERN came online, it would tend to destabilize the Pacific Rim. I mean, the Ring of Fire.
Well,
You've heard of the Ring of Fire. Now, another
yeah.
part of the Ring of Fire is in Japan, where they had that huge earth, one of the largest ones in history, the Tohoku, or whatever it was, in the northeast corner of Japan, that created that huge tsunami. The tsunami alone killed over 20,000 people.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that CERN came online.
That's when it came online?
No, when did CERN come online, hon? Can you think of when it was? Was it 2008?
I don't know when it came online. I'll pull up the Wikipedia. We'll find out. Almost there. Oh, there's your Twitter account. Give me the Wikipedia. I mean, I know they're not perfect, but something basic like this, like where is CERN located, is not mm-hmm. exactly a political. I don't think, unless
yeah.
they've been lying to us. So when was it founded? History of CERN. The convention establishing CERN was ratified on the 29th of September 1954 by 12 countries in Western Europe. The
54.
Acronym CERN originally represents the French words for Conseil Européen pour le... I'm sorry, I can't speak French. It's a big French word. European Council for Nuclear Research is what it stands for.
Okay.
So in English, I guess the acronym would be ECNR instead of CERN.
Wow.
But anyway, so that's when they first did it by treaty. Now, I don't know when it was constructed. Let's see. 1973, the discovery of neutral currents in the Gargamel bubble chamber. Okay, I don't know what that is. Okay, so I don't know everything about CERN. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just found something interesting. Found something interesting. The earthquake at Christchurch, New Zealand, which caused a lot of deaths and huge amount of property damage, was 22nd of... the page just disappeared right up from under me. 22nd of February, 2011, 12:51 local time, and it was just 1 month later that they had the big Japanese earthquake, the one that was 9.5 or something.
1 month later.
Yeah, that was in March 11th of 2011. So 2011. Was quite a day. I mean, quite a year, quite a few months of lots of seismic activity on the Ring of Fire. So you know, and the Christchurch one would have been not that far from the opposite point in the world of the CERN Large Hadron Collider. So I'm just wondering, was it up in February and March of 2011? Was the Hadron Collider doing its thing? Or were they? I know it took them a while to get going.
I'm looking possible future accelerator sites participation in one of their sites.
Sure. Maybe I can find something.
Yeah, when did CERN spin up? Theorists have come caught up with the mechanism to give particles mass. Oh well, it doesn't. I shouldn't do this research while we're actually. Online,
doing something up like that.
Yeah, but it's they're always doing something new, so I don't know if it's even a relevant question.
DemocraticUnderground.com. DemocraticUnderground.com article asserting that the Japan earthquake is a result of Large Hadron Collider activity. Let me see here.
Yeah.
Where's this?
That's the recent earthquake. Even are you talking about the one with the tsunami, or just the recent earthquake?
No, listen to this. Let me see. Earthquakes are caused by changes in the magnetic field of the Earth. Since the machine switched on in 2010, there has been a significant 100% increase on earthquakes from the statistical mean of, you know, whatever. So the statistical mean of 13 plus 7, whatever that means. And this year, a mean of 25. It's gone up from 13 large earthquakes to 25. No other significant change on magnetic fields have taken place on Earth. Moreover, for the first time in history, two super earthquakes over 8.8 in the Richter scale, Chile and Japan, happened in consecutive years. The possible chain of cause-effect, which we predicted in our first post on this web 2 years ago, when the machine upgrades its strength beyond the 10 TeV barrier or of creation of black holes, shows the immense risk on human lives of this machine. Wow. So that's exactly, to pretend anybody knows exactly how this 100% growth of earthquakes has taken place is false, but statistics don't lie. So this guy is definitely blaming CERN for a 100% increase in world earthquakes.
What's the old saying? There's liars, damn liars, and statisticians. And we're certainly seeing that in this election, aren't we?
Yeah, I hear that, yeah.
True. Mark Twain, yeah.
The only other occasion in which such statistical jump in earthquakes has occurred was due to the carpet bombing of the islands of the Ring of Fire in 1943 during the Second World War. And then he has a link there. So when they carpet bombed the Ring of Fire during the war, that also seems to have caused this kind of uptick in earthquake activity. Isn't
Do we
that
have
amazing?
The term carpet bomb back then?
Well, I think that they, well, for example, you know, when the United States attacked, Iwo Jima, they attacked, there was an island there. What the heck was it? They bombed the hell out of it. They bombed it for weeks.
The Bikini Island.
It was the equivalent of carpet bombing. Yeah.
Yeah. We just didn't have the word carpet bomb back then.
No,
invented
I don't think
in
so.
My own time.
No.
But we did it. You know.
But anyway, so there are people that are asserting that same theory that these earthquakes. I would say it's the ring of fire, and they said that one of the 8.8 plus earthquakes in that year was in Chile. And that's on the Ring of Fire too. It's on the Eastern Pacific. It's on the west coast of South America. So that also was part of the Ring of Fire. So I'm just going to suggest that while CERN is doing their thing, there's an increased chance of earthquake activity all around the Pacific Ocean. That's my guess, anyway.
Yeah. Well, besides CERN causing earthquakes. One reason I started talking about CERN is I think it can be used to cause an EMP if they can get the sun to have a sunspot exactly positioned right at the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just fire up their little magnetic rifles and shoot it out, and nobody would be the wiser. You know, we're all supposed to think the sun did it because, you know, actually, they'll either do it that way or maybe they have actual bombs that can emit EMPs. And, you know, with an EMP, it wipes out your communication. It wipes out your electricity. You live like, you know, 200 years ago. But, but you're not dead, at least not until you starve to death because the supply chains are all ripped up. But on the other hand, if they are used to cause earthquakes, then your house falls down around you. So you're even worse off than if it's just a straight EMP. So if we could encase all the buildings with the Faraday cages to keep the EMP away, we'd be better off. I don't know. I've been following a YouTube channel of a guy in Tucson, too, who's been fighting with the local electric company because there's power lines near his house and stuff like that. And he's doing an experiment in his backyard. He put this big Faraday cage around one newly planted Palo Verde tree and not around the other. And the one with the Faraday cage is doing so much better. So he's like proving it, you know. There are people that are sensitive to these, you know, emissions.
Could you remind me of what the Faraday cage does, supposed to do?
I don't know. It just kind of diverts. It's kind of like a shield around you that diverts these electric signals away from your body. And I think of them as like a lightning rod that surrounds something. And maybe that's too simplistic. I don't know.
Cool.
You know, that's what we all need, lightning rods on our homes, but I don't think that's exactly what it needs.
Maybe we need tin hats. What's the idea about, you know, they always make jokes about this, that people put aluminum foil in their windows and they're wearing tin hats. And stuff
but there
like
might
that.
Be something to it. There might be something to it.
That's funny.
Yeah. Especially if they're going to be.
Cowering, I'm cowering in the corner of my apartment wearing a tin hat, you know.
Well, you can kind of hide it. Just kind of stuff some tin foil in a baseball cap or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well.
I'm joking.
I don't know. I don't know what he thinks he's going to do to prepare the country for space weather or an intentional EMP. It's going to be the same response either way. They're going to have FEMA tanks rolling in and be your goose-stepping police force. I don't think anybody's fooled anymore about FEMA being actually there to help you. They're going to cart you away and stick you in a camp and all that.
But it sounds so normal, space weather. I mean, it doesn't sound at all like it's, going to come get you or something. It's kind of normal.
Well,
make it sound
that's
innocuous.
That's what we do. That's what they do. They'll bore you to death with euphemisms and make it pretty, and really they're planning terrible stuff.
Mm.
So, I don't know. So I don't know what to suggest other than people hunker down in their homes. They load up on some canned goods, and there are sources online for buying food supplies that'll last you months to years. And I have a stash of canned goods that should last for a while. And everybody make your peace with God. That's
That makes everything better. Right? That makes. The worst threat in the world better is if you feel that you have your peace with God. Yep.
Well, if there's this infinite intelligence that knows that we're going to have fruitcakes trying to do this, then you ought to have a backup plan. And if he doesn't, we're all going to die someday anyway. So everybody should always make their peace with God, no matter what. Mm-hmm. You can die suddenly like that UFO guy did, that UFO researcher just died. Past summer, and
as people get older,
Julian Assange's lawyer and Hillary Clinton's doctor.
Oh yeah, but as we get into the 60s and our 70s and stuff, and up into the 80s, there's not that many years going to be left, no matter what. So that actually makes life more exciting. You watch what's going on in the world, and you think, oh well, okay, so any day the world could blow up. Well, oh well, at least I've had 70 good years. 75 good years. What would you feel sorry for? It's the young
on
people.
On the other hand,
very sorry.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those of us with kids, no, we have to stand and fight because we have kids and grandkids. And I think that's what Trump is doing. That he's looking at his little kids and he sees all this intentional misdeeds by Hillary and Obama and the people before them, Bush and Clinton, and he's had enough. He's had enough. He wants a real country to leave behind to his kids and grandkids. Mm.
That's true.
I don't know. I think it's a series of things that set him off. I think he's angry, and I'm glad he's angry because we're all the hell angry too.
You remember when back in the Gorbachev days, he was taken prisoner. Something came out. There was a video of his daughter, who was a little, I think it was his granddaughter, and she was this little ballet dancer, and she was so cute.
Gorbachev.
And I was thinking, even Vladimir Putin must have children. Is he married? Does he have children? Does he have grandchildren?
I think he's got his wife locked up in an insane asylum so he can play the field. I think that's what
Well, that's ominous. I was hoping that he has a normal life with family and children and stuff like that.
What Russians do.
Hey, remember Adolf Hitler did not have any children, did he? We don't know of any children born to him. He never actually married. He had an affair with Eva Braun, but he never actually married. But so you see, I think you have to look at the people in power and what is their family life like, Trump has 5 children or 4 children? How many children does he have?
He's got 5 children and 2 of them, one has 3 children of her own, another has 5 children of his own, and then I guess Eric is planning children, but he doesn't have any yet.
Well, he can afford them. He's got enough money to afford all these children. But he's got a magnificent family, you know? And then you wonder, well, okay,
yeah.
So Obama has two kids, Hillary and Bill, between them, have one child. Oh, unless you count Denny.
No.
Unless you count Mr. Denny, who is, would be
Danny Williams. Danny Williams.
Yeah.
You mean Bill Clinton's love child?
Bill Clinton's love child, whom he does not want to, or whom Hillary will not let him, you know, have
yeah,
anything to do with.
That was a fascinating interview.
Yeah, or so they say. Yeah. Very sad.
I
but you can see our leaders. You
children.
Can see, you know, what's how good I think how much these people care about life and death of this planet and of mankind based on their family structure, their family life. Do they have kids? Do they have grandkids? You know.
Do I don't know. I have
known
many people with kids. So here's a picture of Putin as a young man with a wife and a baby. But there was another picture that went by that indicates he's got two daughters.
Oh,
so,
I know he's got a cat.
Maria
Putina,
his daughter. Katerina Putina.
Oh, Katerina?
Yeah. And there might be a third one.
Suzanne, did you see that picture of Putin holding a cat? Holding a cat. It was kind of a weird cat. It looked green. I think maybe that was kind of...
Bad lighting.
You know what that might have been? Is that might have been a comment of his on this whole pussy thing of the accusations against Trump, you know?
I don't know. Would a Russian be making English puns?
They could be making English puns, I know. But you know, they really got... they arrested that rock group, Pussy Riot. They arrested them. They couldn't stand... Oh, they were...
Why?
What did they do? They had a demonstration inside a Russian church, one of the Orthodox churches, and they were furious about it, and they arrested them all. And I think they just barely got out of there. A lot of diplomatic pressure was brought to bear to make them release them. Well, I'm sorry for the distraction.
Yeah, well.
It was just,
it's a nice
just
distraction.
A picture of Putin
holding
his pet.
Maybe I should... I'll take a quick break here, and we'll be back in a minute.
This is Murphy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Aloha, this is Katmir Stone of Freedomizer Radio. I was born and raised in the Caribbean tropical coast and enjoyed living along the Blue Ridge Mountains of Appalachia, both places where Mother Nature rules and shoes are optional. Now living in the ninth largest metropolitan area in the United States, I'm surprised that more people don't realize that their health would improve if they just took off their shoes and relaxed. Yes, even in the middle of downtown. Bunions, hammer toes, atrophied pinkies, fungus issues, weak structure. All these foot problems caused by shoes are simply due to the fact that people don't know that being barefoot is not just the natural, comfortable solution, it's legal. That's right, Freedomizers. We at barefootislegal.org host a weekly radio show where we discuss the many health benefits and zero laws concerning going barefoot. Join Nicola, Kiliki Claybaugh, Patty Peaceful, and yours truly, Katmir Stone, every Saturday starting at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, 1:30 p.m. Eastern for Barefoot is Legal Radio. Hashtag Freedomizer Radio, hashtag Shoes Ruined My Feet, hashtag Barefoot is Legal.org.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Hi, so we're back, and we've been discussing the possibility of our own government launching a false flag EMP against ourselves, and the evidence for it out there, certainly within the last week, I guess it was a couple of days ago, or was it yesterday, that the White House issued an executive order on how to prepare the nation in the event of quote-unquote space weather. And the only kind of space weather that can do us the most harm would be an electromagnetic pulse that will be generated by actions of CERN or other methods. This BP Earth Watch that I've been mentioning, he's also got images of solar wind that normally comes towards the Earth and is blocked by our magnetic shield and then passes by us. But now we're also getting hit from the backside with something, and we have not identified what it is. And there are people out there who say, oh, it's Nibiru. But in fact, BP Earth Watch believes that Nibiru is Jupiter. And he's got some standing for thinking that. Its orbit sometimes, on rare occasions, every few hundred years, puts it in position to perturb the asteroid belt and start sending some of those pummeling toward the inner solar system, where they could hit us, you know, asteroids and meteors, and just cause a lot of havoc. So that's kind of similar to how Pluto and Neptune and Uranus can be disturbing the far out Kuiper belt, the comets and things, and send them hurtling in too. And that's how we get to see comets in the inner solar system. Most of them live way outside of the outer solar system. Of course, they could possibly be gearing us up to fake us out and call it space weather when it's really their own weapons. And what makes them think that's going to happen now when it didn't happen before? There's all these scare articles out there on, the sun is overdue for a major event and all this. Well, yes, the sun does actually regularly swap its own magnetic poles. And that's happens approximately every two sunspot cycles. So maybe, but it's not a sudden thing. It's a gradual thing, and it happens all the time. So we would have been seeing it before now if that was going to be generating EMPs at us, at least I think. When I used to work in solar astronomy and plot the magnetic, the small magnetic features of the sun as they rotated around. And, it was an interesting time of my life. But that's why I look at all this hand-wringing and fist-shaking about what the sun's going to do to us as with a skeptic eye, because I'm no young chicken, and we haven't suffered a loss like this before. Of course, there are volcanoes that go off in periods longer than my lifetime, but, we've got a couple of hundred years on solar data, so I just don't, why would it choose now during the Obama administration the last couple of months to happen if he's not planning it himself?
So
are you still there? Yes.
Hi, yes I am. And, the sun has been doing its thing for billions of years, and yeah, there's been a couple of, events that are hard to explain, like dying off of the dinosaurs, but that happened 65 million years ago, and they think it's more because of an asteroid impact that didn't have anything to do with the sun. The sun has been pretty mildly, keep doing its thing, and sure, it goes through its sunspot cycles and the solar minimums and all that, but it doesn't seem to go, killing people. It hasn't killed off humanity or any part of humanity that I can tell. So I think the sun is a benign force. I follow some astrology, and the sun is a benign energy. It's a very positive energy. So is Jupiter. Jupiter's also benign energy. You know what I don't like about this Nibiru thing? These are people who believe in apocalypses. These are people who almost want to see the Earth and, you know, our total civilization, everything, destroyed because it will be replaced by something better, like a kingdom of heaven or something like that. And, you know, the Muslims have an apocalyptic kind of theory or, you know, legends that that's going to happen that way. And so do we. And the wars that's supposed to happen at the end of
I think the difference is they want it. I think Christians in the Bible were warned about it. It's not like we're seeking it. We're warned about it, and we're, you know, told, hey, the way to live through it is to, you know, just have faith that God will pull you through it, come out the other side. But we're not seeking out the destruction of the earth. Whereas some of these
When I listened to the guy on BP Earth on BP Earthwatch, is that what it's called? BP Earthwatch. He's he has lots of good scientific data, and he shows you know, the spectrum of the sun and satellite views of the magnetosphere and all that stuff. But then he lapses, not every time, but every couple of days, into some very hardcore Book of Revelation kind of stuff. You know, Book of Revelation this and that. And this may be the beast with seven heads, and each one had the name of blasphemy or something like that.
Yeah, I don't understand
so
any of that stuff.
But I think that's why he's into this idea of Nibiru, of something coming that's going to punish mankind or do something awful. I just can't go there.
Well, I don't think about Nibiru, but I think he doesn't say punish, but he doesn't believe that there's a separate planet named Nibiru. He thinks that Jupiter has been mistaken for Nibiru, has been mistaken for Jupiter, or vice versa, and that Jupiter once in every several hundred years manages to disturb some of these asteroids, and that's what he thinks Nibiru is. But also, I realized today that I've been confusing him also with this other guy. Now, he put out an announcement a few days ago that he was going to be on this Paul Begley YouTube channel, and we tuned in, and we thought we heard him, but it turns out, well, the BP Earthwatch guy, his name is Jesse, and the guy that was actually on the Paul Begley Jr. talking all this apocalyptic stuff, his name was Mike. So he sounded like he could be the same guy, except he talked a lot faster. So Mike talks a lot faster than Jesse, but they both have this Alabama, Pensacola accent.
Definitely.
But one was talking. So I'm confusing two different guys. So I have to be careful. I haven't sorted them out yet. I don't know how exactly Mike is related to Jesse. But I think they know each other. You know?
Could be. Yeah, I heard that too. He was talking much faster than the guy that we hear at BP Earthwatch. BP Earthwatch, he chooses his words carefully. Chooses his words carefully. And he talks about this speed. You see, like I'm talking right now. This other guy was going blah, 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 blah. He was just rattling on. Let me just finish my point.
Okay.
Let me just finish one point. I believe that Jupiter is not a cause ever of anything bad happening. Do you know what I think happens if it disturbs any of the asteroids in the outer asteroid belt? It turns them into moons. What does Jupiter have? Something close to 60 moons? Is it 50 or 60 moons around it?
I think it's like 7,
It's got a huge gravity. Yeah, it's got a huge magnetic field. It's got a huge gravity, and it tends to be the cleanup like on a baseball team, you know, cleanup man. It's picking up all this stuff. Well, look what it did with the Shoemaker-Levy comet, or whatever it was, broke it up into little pieces, and each one struck Jupiter. And if any of those had hit Earth, we would have probably been wiped out. So actually, it did us a really good turn.
Turn
by cleaning up that comet out of circulation. And it's probably done that 1,000 times before, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good force. In astrology, Jupiter is the most benevolent of all the planets, the most benevolent and the most having to do with, you know, success and increase in finances and happiness and jubilation, everything like that. So there's another ancient belief system, you see.
Yeah, that's an ancient one, all right.
And, you know,
they say the first non-Jews to honor the Christ child were astrologers. from the Middle East.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Good for them. Good for them. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I guess there's articles all over the place, too, that the uber-wealthy elitists are having underground caves built for themselves so they can protect themselves from whatever they think is coming that they're not telling us about. Or they just think that, you know, once they manage to, you know, destroy the habitability of the surface of the Earth, that the rest of the people of the Earth will just go nuts and rampaging and rioting and stealing food and what's the word, butchering zoo animals and stuff like that. But, you know, I think they're totally
like
underestimating mankind. Yeah, well, Venezuela, yeah, that's been a communist country for a long time, very socialist, and they really don't encourage Christianity and looking out for your fellow man in those kinds of societies. And I always was kind of left cold by Spielberg movies, because he's got this view of mankind, of people, everybody out for themselves, out for themselves, out for themselves. And that's the opposite of, you know, at least the Christian method, where you help your neighbor, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah. So I just, you know, you can choose what kind of human being you want to be. And that was the big message, too. So you choose to be on the side of mankind and helping your neighbor. And, you know, so if we really do get hit with one of these bombs, you know, just, you know that there's more to life than just this one life, but, you know, we need to be helping our neighbor. And we're not going to resort to being animals that these elitists want us to be, you know, that they're launching all these weapons on us because they're just sick of us, because they look down on us like so many, you know, vermin. That's their whole, world view, is that the rest of mankind is the vermin of the Earth, and we're some kind of infestation, and that's why they're going to put up these Death Stars in orbit that we talked about last week to keep us from escaping the Earth. You know, who the hell are they? You know, they're not going to win. There's more of us than there are of them, so they're just not going to win. So I wonder if I've got another article here that I can pull up. And I've got too many. I've always got too many tabs open. I've got links to articles about Obama wanting war, articles about Hillary wanting war. Well, some Beat the Earth Watch stuff. I don't know. I don't want to depress everybody and read all this stuff, but it is. I've got all the links right here. And, you know, there was some breaking news out of WikiLeaks last week. You know, the mainstream media doesn't cover this stuff, so it gets kind of washed out, because the alternative sites, they cover as much as they can, but there's not as many of them yet, even though the mainstream media is losing their viewers. But there was one where, you know, Hillary just got everything she wanted from Gaddafi. You know, he agreed to everything that the U.S. was demanding for making peace in Libya, and she just was in a snit and wanted him dead anyway, so that's why they went after him. You know, it was nothing but her witchy, you know, witchy-bitchy attitude. Oh, life's yeah, and that's who wants to now be our president. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it.
Well, Suzanne, yes. I've done Hillary's astrology. It's on my edaugusts.com, and she has a terrible chart. She has Mars, Pluto, and Saturn clustered all very close together, and they're rising in her chart. That means the focus of her chart is on this negative energy. Mars is war and anger, and Saturn is it's almost like the four horsemen of the apocalypse combined in these three planets. You know?
Well, now who's laughing into apocalyptic language?
To be honest, Mars has to do with war. Saturn has to do with death. It has to do with all kinds of cold and malicious. You know, I mean, somebody
Mars
in certain aspects in their chart. Pardon?
What has to do with death? What has to do with death?
Saturn, planet Saturn.
Configured
in a natal horoscope in a certain way, then this can happen. Now, one of my clients' ex-husbands just had an exact Saturn aspect in their chart, and they had a heart attack, and they've been in hospital for a couple of weeks now, you know, and the doctors can't seem to fix it. but so they don't know. But anyway, I've noticed this even in medical situations sometimes, that these planets will come to the fore. They will be in the foreground of the chart. In other words, they'll be opposed or conjuncted by certain other negative planets and certain negative parts of the zodiac. And I know a lot of people are going to say that that's nutty, but I mean, I have studied it for 40 years.
Well, I wouldn't
so
call it nutty.
I believe in what I've studied.
I can't understand. Yeah, you've seen it personally your whole life, and I have trouble wrapping my head around it, this metaphysical aspects, assigning personalities to the planets. You know, because I've always thought of Saturn as one of the most beautiful planets, you know, because we could aim our little telescope at it when we were kids and see the rings. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's
how I
always
thought of Saturn. Well, rings can be dangerous. I mean, many a man has realized that once they put the ring on the woman's finger, that everything turns to hell. So.
No, don't be bashing women. Come on.
The rings are not always that good of a thing, and at least not for some of the guys out there.
Yeah.
And they're expensive, too.
So supposedly a lot of these elitists, they believe in this kind of metaphysical stuff. And so they're using it to time their own actions.
Some of them are New Agers. They're New Agers, aren't they? Suzanne, they're either New Agers or they're pagans. They're either New Agers or pagans, you know.
That's the same thing. Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. Well, no, the Age of Aquarius, a positive thing coming up, mankind entering a grand period of peace and tranquility. That's quite a bit different from witchcraft and Satanism and stuff like that.
Well, the Age of Aquarius, doesn't that start like 100 years from now or something? No matter what.
They've been saying that for 100 years now. They've been saying it's been coming for 100 years. I'm not sure if it's coming or if we just went through it. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I think it's a nebulous thing. Classical astrologers do not feel the precession of the zodiac changes the inherent qualities of the signs. The age before the age of Aquarius was the age of Pisces. Since the Earth is moving in retrograde motion, we have just left the age of Pisces, which marked the years 1 to 2000 AD. Now, I thought it was a more fuzzy line than that. And that the Earth doesn't move retrograde. Retrograde is only defined by us passing another planet. We can't pass ourselves. So this is a garbage article. I need to find another one.
It's in relation to the constellations, et cetera, everything that's out there. And honestly, I don't completely understand it.
I don't know. Well, yeah, because how would Mercury go into retrograde? Because we don't pass Mercury. It's always passing us.
It appears to be going retrograde when seen from Earth. When Earth is moving, outside of Mercury's orbit, and Mercury comes out from maybe behind the sun, and for a while there, it looks like it's going retrograde. It's optical. It's
right.
Optics. It's all But let me just tell you, Hillary has a bad chart. It's a dangerous chart. It's an angry chart. It's extremely angry, you know. Now, Trump has Mars rising.
But that's what we're hearing from the people. Apparently, that's what we're hearing from the people in our inner circles. And after that forum, a presidential forum that they did in September, I guess Matt Lauer slipped in an unapproved question, and she was livid and screaming at people after she left the stage. And I'm surprised I didn't hear it from
him. She becomes very angry. Doesn't she throw things sometimes? Didn't she throw something at Bill when she caught him at something? What was it? She threw a lamp at his head or something like that?
Oh, something like that. Yeah, and I think she actually hit a Secret Service agent in the head with a Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump has a much more positive energy. Donald Trump has a much more positive energy. He's got Mars rising, but it's in good aspects to the sun on one side and to another planet on the other. It gives him righteous anger, righteous indignation. It gives him the work ethic. It gives him manly virtues, you know, and without the danger of, huge explosions or evil. Evil is not possible in the Trump chart whereas I would say evil is looking straight at you in the Clinton chart.
Yeah. Well, I hope he can protect us from her, because if he wins the election, there will be hell to pay. The New World Order is not going to put up with it. And I think that's the most dangerous time between the election and the inauguration. You know, if Hillary wins, well, Obama won't bother doing anything, and he'll just let her handle it. You know, he'll just, you know, within the first 100 days, she'll start her nuclear war that she wants with Russia, whereas she won't get that chance, and Obama will have to take scorched earth action against the Americans he hates so much. You know, if Trump wins the election, you know, Obama will just have that short window of time to act. And so he's lining up his ducks, and an EMP, a false flag EMP, quote-unquote space weather, is certainly on his radar as a possibility about what to do.
Well, that doesn't mean we don't want Trump to beat Clinton, though, does it? We still want
It doesn't, because we definitely, because a nuclear war is an absolute thing if Hillary gets in. It's just a matter of maybe next year instead of right away. I don't think Obama has the guts to actually start a nuclear war, but he might have the guts to launch an EMP against us. So you don't have the blood in the street. You just have the collapsed grid and the electric grid, and then people slowly starving to death, like Venezuela, because the whole food supply chain has been interrupted. And that's why people are stocking up on food. And so there are various places online, including, you know, InfoWars, where you can get your get some food supplies in. You can start your gardens. And I've got a few pots and stuff, but that's not enough to sustain me. But I've got bags and bags of sprout seeds that I can, you know, have some vegetables in for 3 weeks or months. And I've got a whole freezer full of canned meat, and you know, that should sustain several of us for a while. So at least till they can get the supply chain up and going again. So that is what I recommend to people: get your food supplies in, learn some gardening tips, learn how to sprout, grow sprouts, because that's by far the fastest. You'll have sprouts in a week or less. You know, you can have a whole tray of vegetables, and you know, start a tray of sprouts every day, and you can have, you know, round the clock sprouts. And anyway, we are running out of time here, and I want to thank everybody for listening in and calling in, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week.